we're going to talk today about restarting. A couple of weeks ago, we said restart you, because every now and again, we need to get restarted. We need a brand new start. But I feel today God's word is to restart missions, because maybe over this last few months, your mission has went on hold. And I want to tell you right from the outset, not only is there a destiny and purpose on your life, and it's far greater and far bigger than you know, but there's also a bigger mission that all us Christians are on together. It's called the Great Commission. If you're not saved today and you're not on this mission with us, then you can be. This is the great news about God. He's always available. He's always ready. Now, we know time is running out, but we know Jesus is coming back someday. But until then, he's always ready. He's always available. And all you have to do is say yes to him, and he is faithful. He will take away your sins, give you a brand new start, and suddenly you get to be part of this family. But for us as Christians today, then we've got to realize and we've got to remind ourselves we're on a commission. We're on a bigger mission than our own personal one, and yet it all kind of works together because God's so amazing. But as we do this thing, and as we step out of this season that we've been in, we've got to remind ourselves we are people that's on mission. And so if you haven't been on mission in a while, and I'm not talking about going to the far stretches of the world, I'm talking about Armagh, I'm talking about your family, I'm talking about anywhere you find yourself. Like every day, we're people not waiting to go on a mission, we are literally people on a mission. And I think it's time for a restart. I think it's time for a restart like never before. And I want us to read Matthew 28:19. And here's what I love about Matthew 28. It's some of Jesus' final words. And whenever you get final words, or you get like some final words from someone just before they're about to leave, it's usually important. It's like when someone leaves you, like, please don't forget to lock the front door. Please don't forget to feed the cat. You know, someone's going on holidays, you're babysitting. Please don't forget to, put the bin out. It's a crucial one. Don't forget to do all of that. But for Jesus, he's given us something even more crucial. He's reminding us of our co-mission. He's reminding us of the bigger mission that we're all a part of. And here's what he says in Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the mission we're on. The mission that we're on is to see as many people as possible come to faith, so that one day when this world is over, one day when your life is over, we are all going to heaven together, to paradise, to perfection, to a wonderful, wonderful place forever. Because here's the truth of this life. It's limited, it's finite, and it's running out. Our world is running out. Your life is running out. But we're going to a far better place if we know Jesus. Can I encourage you, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to the worst place possible, called hell. But because of Jesus and what he's done, you can turn your life from darkness to life. You can literally go from a lost eternity to one in perfection forever with Jesus. It seems too good to be true. It's amazing. It is so good. It is the truth. Please get a hold of this good news and go for it. So my question today is, we're thinking about our mission, because we always have to ascertain how good is our mission going. We have to ask ourselves, I wonder how this mission is going in my life. And so I want to ask a big question. How effective are you as a Christian? You're like, well, what do you mean? Like, how good am I reading the Bible? No. Like, on the mission for God, how effective are you? Like, what about you in that role of making disciples, baptizing people, you know, talking to people about Jesus, you know, just teaching them to obey all things, you know, being a disciple maker, being a person that disciples, like, how good are we at that? We've got to ask ourselves these big questions. Otherwise, what we'll do is we'll have a personal faith, but it won't have any public effect. Could you imagine if Jesus only had a personal faith, but it never had any public effect? There's no cross. There's no forgiveness for us. There's no Jesus doing signs, wonders, and miracles. The Bible might as well be useless, because Jesus is the jewel. Jesus had to do what he needed to do to make the whole thing complete. The word tells us that every promise in the Old Testament, every prophetic word, everything that had to happen was all completed in Christ. All the names of God in the Old Testament were now completed in Christ. We needed Jesus to do what he did. So we need to do what we're called to do. We're on a commission. So how effective are you? And when I think about effectiveness, this is what I think about. It's got to get somewhere, hasn't it? Like, whenever you say I'm really effective at X, X needs to happen sometimes. There's got to be a point. There's got to be a purpose to your life. And Jesus is saying the same thing in this commission. When you're part of this commission, there's got to be a point to your presence. There's got to be something that you're doing. There has to be an effectiveness. You've got to make something happen, or something needs to happen. Not make something happen, but something needs to happen as God would move through you. And let me give you three quick things that we can think about today just for a moment. we share our faith. If we're going to be effective in this Great Commission, we've got to share our faith, because if we don't share our faith, then people can't get saved. We've got to show love, because Jesus showed love. That was the highest characteristic of his life. The highest value of his life was love. In fact, he is love. God is love, for God so loved the world. Everything that God does revolves in love. It never leaves love. What about our lives? How effective are we in love, in terms of loving people around us, in terms of showing love and acting in love and being love to a broken, hurting world? And then lastly, how actively are we like Jesus? How actively are we living like Jesus? Because we've got to look like him. That's the goal of our Christian walk, is that literally there'd be no difference. It's like, if you've seen me, you've seen him. That's what Jesus said. If you've seen me, you've already seen him. It's the same for us. If people have seen us, then they've already seen him. Because not that we're doing better than Jesus, but we're following his footsteps. And as a result, as people would see us, they would naturally look up to him. Our lives are a signpost. We're literally like, this way to Jesus, this way to Jesus. Whatever way you find us, but our lives are to be a signpost, not a roadblock, not a stop sign, but a signpost, a direction post to onto greater things. Jesus said to us, you're going to do greater things than me, because you're all going to be part of this commission, and you're going to step out and actively live like the way I have called you to live. So we're going to have to be effective, and God wants us to be effective. And I want to just challenge your heart with that, because you've got to restart mission. But the reason, and part of the reason why you know you've got to restart mission, because you've got to ask yourself the question, how effective have I been lately in the mission of God? And that's a great place to start. Let me read John 15:5. And this is going to be a wonderful picture, and it's going to be a place that we're going to go to today to help us to see our effectiveness and to help us to see, right, what am I doing in this Great Commission? Jesus starts off and he says, I am the vine. And he's painting a picture here, because obviously he's not a vine, but he's painting the picture of, there's a garden scene. Just like Genesis, he said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Here's the contrast. When you're in me, you're going to do great effective work. When you're outside of me, you're going to do nothing. So we've got to be in Christ to do great effective work. Or as it's described here, the metaphor is fruit. God wants us to bear much fruit. If you want to know how, if you're my disciples, Jesus another time says, then you'll know them by their fruits. Fruits is a big way that God describes our walk, because he knows that people can figure out what that means. Everybody's had fruit, experienced fruit. It's one of those things that people tend to not like vegetables, but they tend to love fruit. And so he uses fruit as an analogy here. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned because they're ineffective. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Look at the promise that God gives us today. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is literally our identity. As we bear fruit, it's always going to happen. As we're close to Jesus, we'll just naturally bear fruit because he's the vine, we're the branches. It's going to happen. The only time when it doesn't happen is when we get severed from him, when we get apart from him, when distance starts to come into our relationship with God. And that's why today I want to challenge your hearts. How effective are you in your mission with God? How effective are you on the Great Commission? If you've started to become ineffective, it could be that you're not really connected in on the vine like you once were, and it's time to come back to him. It's time to get connected in again. Some distance has got in between, and it's time to get connected, because your life was designed to bear much fruit. We are people who will bear much fruit. That's literally what God has said. And God gives us this wonderful picture of fruit to describe spiritual health and effectiveness, because this is what we're going to use today, because this is what God has always used. If you want to know how healthy you're doing, how effective you're being, check the fruit of your life. Check the fruit of your life. Are you making an impact on people's lives? Is your life having an impact into broken people? Is your life making a difference on this planet? Because if it is, the chances are you're being effective and you're being fruitful. Because that's what God, that's the way God has made us. And notice how fruitfulness and effectiveness go hand in hand. And the idea of being spiritually healthy. And here's what I find. When you're spiritually healthy, you'll be fruitful and effective. But you can be fruitful and effective and not spiritually healthy. They've got to go hand in hand. Every time you're healthy, you will naturally go to spiritual fruit and effectiveness. But you can be fruitful and effective without being super healthy. And today I want us to make sure that we've got both. We need to have both, because there's no point being a good doer but your soul's dying inside, because ultimately you will not be able to survive. And that's why Jesus many times retreated from the masses, came back from the people, because he said, I've got to tend to my soul. I've got to make sure that I'm healthy and strong. There's no point burning out in front of people, because then that's me done. How will I be effective anymore? How will I share my fruit anymore? How will I be fruitful in front of people anymore? So I've got to maintain my steadiness with the Lord. And I want to encourage you, maybe you need to restart missions. But as you restart missions, you've got to look at the effectiveness of your relationship with God, the health of your relationship with God. Because there's no point just doing it if you haven't got health on the inside. God wants us to be healthy. And so as we think about fruit today, I want us to think about great fruit, because God hasn't called us to just be, you know, mediocre. He's called us to be great because he is great. He's called us to be the head and not the tail. Now, I know there are times when we walk through the valleys, but even in those times, God says, you're still a victor. You're still victorious in me because you're more than an overcomer. And so as we think about great fruit, I want us to think about the characteristics of that. Here's what I find. Fruit is ripe and it's sweet. And when I think about it, I think all the way back to the Philippines a few years ago, and I think about golden, delicious mangoes. If you've never had one of them, I tell you, you're missing out. It's like heavenly fruit on earth. You need to get some. It's incredible. It's like tasty. It's like so juicy. It's like if you eat one, you want more. If you eat one, it's so refreshing. I would happily go tomorrow to get one if it wasn't so far. I would love to get some shipped home. Now, I know the ones that you've seen in the supermarket, but let me tell you, they are nowhere near as good. You've got to get to the Philippines, because fruit should be ripe and sweet. It's the same with our lives. It's exactly the same with our lives. Here's another great quality of fruit. It should be plentiful and it should satisfy. And when I think about this, I think about God, because in our lives, there should be an abundance. When fruit starts to come, it's usually an abundance. You don't just get one wee tiny bit of fruit. You don't get one grape, otherwise you'd be dissatisfied. You get hundreds of those things. You don't get one apple in the orchard, or you'd be super disappointed. You get hundreds of apples in the orchard. Just in case you didn't know it, you're in the Orchard County with us live today in Vibe, because we're known as the Orchard County because we've got loads of apple trees. And so to be effective and to be really what God designed us to be, we want to have abundance. We want to overflow. And that is exactly how God has destined us to be. So fruit, good sign of great fruit is that it's ripe and it's sweet, it's plentiful, it satisfies, and guess what? It's for others. This fruit is for others. It's meant to have an impact on other people's lives. And for us today, when we're really good fruit, when there's really good fruit going on in our lives, and we're really being effective and healthy in the things of God, then we're literally all about them. And we're nothing about ourselves. In fact, that's the way Jesus lived, isn't it? He came to earth and he said, hey, this is not about me. It's all about you. And my Father will sustain me. Our world would be a completely different place. Our church would be a completely different place. Let me prophesy into our hearts today. We are going to be completely different, because as Vibe, we're going to do it different than everybody else does in the sense of the word. We're literally going to live like Christ. We're going to pour ourselves out at the expense of ourselves for everybody else. But don't worry, everybody else is going to pour themselves out at the expense of themselves for you. Is that not the heart of God? Because that's what Jesus showed us. That's what he showed us on the cross. That's what he showed us with our lives. It's to make an impact and it's to make a difference. For us to be fully effective as Christians, we've got to make an impact on the world. For us to be fully effective, for us to do all the things that God's called us to do, they cannot stay in our house. They cannot stay to ourselves. They cannot even stay to our own family. It's got to get past the four walls. It's got to get out into the world. And so how is your fruit today? Let me challenge your heart. How is your fruit? And is it life bringing? Is your fruit changing people's lives? Let me just contrast some of the things we just shared a moment ago. Is your life sweet to others? Come on, I'm not being funny, I'm being real. But is your life sweet to others? Is it literally being sweet to them? Is it bringing honey and life to their hearts and to their minds and to their souls? Or is it like, you're just like a bad fruit to them. You're like, I wish I'd never went near them because they're full of bitterness. They're full of anger. There's just no sweetness going on in their lives at all. You know what it's like. God's called us to be sweetness. He's called us to be love. He's called us to be kindness. That's the good fruits of the Spirit. Is our lives overflowing into people? Is our lives overflowing into other people? Is there plentiful and abundance? And do they satisfy other people? Wouldn't it be amazing if we asked that question to our friends? Like, How does my life satisfy you? How does my life make a difference in your heart? How does my life have a lasting impact on you? What a wonderful question to ask. What a wonderful question to ask, because you want to know the answer, because we want to be effective in the kingdom of God. We want to be spiritually healthy, because when we are, we make an effective difference in people's lives. And just like Jesus, we want to be here to do great things, because we've only got one life. And I want to pour it all out for people, because that's the way God has designed us. If your life is not doing this, then your life is not spiritually healthy. Come on, let's be real. If your life is not sweetness to other people, if your life is not impacted, if people are telling you that you're not having a strong impact in their lives for the good, then your life is not spiritually healthy, and it's time to make changes. Amen? And that's why we're talking about restart in this season, because we need to restart us, which we're doing, and which maybe you've done and you're currently doing, but we need to restart mission, because we've got to bring something to the world. They need hope. They need transformation. They need love. They need to see our fruitfulness, because it will literally impact their lives forever. Here's what I find. Normal fruit impacts your health, but spiritual fruit impacts your soul. It literally impacts your soul, and it's our soul that will live forever, and it's our soul that can go to a lost eternity, but it's our soul that can go to heaven forever. See, normal fruit is going to affect our health, but spiritual fruit, your life, can affect someone's spiritual health, and it can literally transform their life. It should transform their lives forever. And if you want to see great fruit, and what was Jesus like, life like, and how incredibly effective was he, you've to look no further than the cross. Because when he laid down his life on the cross, it was just, wow. Could you imagine? You laid down your life for strangers, for those that despise you, those that rejected you, but you did it for love, because the fruit of your life was just, wow, I want to transform and impact this world. And he did, and sin was defeated, and death was defeated, and life was never the same again. And we're here full of joy because of what he did. What about a testimony like that for your life? They're in church because of what you did. They're in church because of the way you lived your life. Their lives are forever changed because of the way that you impacted their hearts. Their lives are in heaven forever because of the prayers that you made, because of the impact that you made in their lives every single day. Come on, guys, this is what God has called us to. We've got to restart mission. And so how effective is your mission every day in this world? We need to ask this question. How is your fruit, and how is it affecting everybody else? Freedom. This is what I find. Freedom is crucial in our lives. I need freedom. I have to have freedom, because when I don't have it, I'm struggling every single day to get it. But here's what I find in Jesus: freedom forever. And even in those moments, whenever it struggles, it's hard for me, and there's a struggle for me, and I'm not sure what to do next, I cry to God, and he reminds me of my freedom. And in the midst of the chaos, I say to myself, wow, I am truly free because God is with me. Freedom is crucial in our lives. And what if you're in a spiritual bubble and it's time to break free? Because this is what I find. What if you're in a spiritual bubble today, and you've been going along life, and everyone's been going well, and you got saved, and you know life has been good, and then COVID hit, and you're like, what's this all about? But it's all okay, because you were in your spiritual bubble and everything else is okay. And while the rest of the world burns, you're safe inside in here. And I want to break you free from that, because God has not saved anyone to get into a spiritual bubble. He's not done it. Now, you can take refuge in him, and for a short time or for a season, you can take refuge in him. In fact, you can live in that place of refuge every single day. But if you live in a bubble, it means you're detached from the outside world. And I literally want to break you free from that, because that's not true freedom. You're living bound up. You just don't realize it yet. I want to break you free, and God wants to break you free from that bubble, because your life was meant to be poured out. Your life is not to be contained. Your life is to be poured out just like Christ, and that you would literally do greater things than him. If we're going to be effective, our life is going to be poured out. If we're going to be healthy and strong, we've got to be connected to the vine. And as we're connected to the vine, much fruit will grow. And here's what I find, and I want to encourage your heart with it today. Fruit is a sign of freedom. When we have fruit going on in our lives, it's a great sign of freedom. And in other words, it's a sure sign that God's full freedom is in our lives. Whenever we're healthy and strong and making a difference in people's lives and not in our spiritual bubbles, it's a sure sign that God's reigning supreme in our lives. It's a sure sign that we're close to him. It's a sure sign that we know his freedom, and freedom is moving. And anybody that comes around us, here's the great news, they experience that freedom too, and they go, how do I get what you've got? How do I get what you've got? Because your freedom is amazing. And so how do we increase our freedom? Trust Jesus. Just said, how do you increase your freedom? Trust Jesus, because then he'll grow more fruit. Because when you're connected to the vine, you will produce much fruit. How's your connection with Jesus this last few days? How's your connection with Jesus this last few months? It's got to restart, maybe. It's got to transform, maybe. Maybe it's got to begin again. Maybe it has to begin completely. I'm going to urge you today, how is your effectiveness and how is your relationship with God? Lack of fruit in your life is then a sure sign that something needs to change. Is there a lack of fruit in your life? You know, just this last few months, come on, let's be real. Is there? If there is, then something needs to change, and God's going to bring it to pass today as we believe in faith. So what is good fruit? Let me read Galatians 5:22. It says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. This is just some of the fruits of the Spirit. There are so many more things that God wants to work through your life, but this is the fruit that God wants to produce in you. And so this is our test. What does your life look like when you would hold your life up to those things? Love, joy, faithfulness, kindness, goodness, mercy, all those good things. Like, what does your life look like? If I'm honest, I'm like, oh, things need to change. But that's okay, because God is with us. Here's the only thing that's a killer, is if you think your life doesn't need to change, or you're adverse to change, or you're like, I'm not even looking at these things anymore because I'm not even interested. I'm telling you, if you're interested in change, that's a good thing. God's moving in your life. Some of these things need to change in me. Maybe a bit more patience, maybe a bit more kindness, maybe a bit more love, maybe a bit more of all of those things. But by his strength connected to the vine, he's going to help me. Let me give you two important keys for good fruit today. The key to our fruit, the key to our lives, is Jesus. Verse 5 says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Can I tell you what that looks like on a day-to-day basis? Is intimacy. How is your intimacy with God? Because you will never produce any fruit if your intimacy and connection with him is severed or not there. We need an intimacy with him. It's an intimacy in the word. Whenever you just like meditate on the word, here's what God's been speaking to my heart about getting up earlier, which if you know me is like a thing I don't want to do, but he's been speaking to my heart, and he's just like, I feel him challenging me, but I feel him wooing me as well, because he's just the lover of my soul, and there's nobody that loves me like him. He's an incredible, incredible person. And I felt him like just day after day, just saying to me, why don't you get up a tiny bit earlier? I want to spend time with you before your day starts. I just want to get you in my presence. I want you to read about me. I want you to meditate on me. I want our intimacy to start off at the start of the day, not the end of the day, because I want to affect your day. And here's what I want to encourage you with. Let's build more intimacy into our lives. What has that been like in your life this last few months? What has that been like in terms of your time with him, your worship with him, your love with him? Because the end of verse 5, it tells us, apart from me, you can do nothing. To grow great fruit, you need to be better than great soil. And Jesus is the soil. Fully connected to him means that we know the vine, and that we know that we're the branches. We know who we are. We know who we're connected to. And watch how that fruit is literally going to flourish in our lives. And you won't be able to stop it. And people will come from near and far to just pick this and pick that and take this fruit from you. And they'll be like, wow, you transformed my life. Wow, that smile of yours. Wow, just the way you prayed, just the way you did this, that, and that. We will impact people's lives naturally. And it's the way that God always intended us to be. So number one, the key to our fruit is to be connected to Jesus. And number two, you got to do something with your fruit. And so the test of our fruit is the key to our health, is that we would impact others with our fruit. Here's what I find, is that you can have fruit in your life and then you not share it with other people. It's like we have the good news of the gospel, but we need to make sure to get it into other people's hearts. We need to make sure to get it into other people's lives, because our fruit must impact. Here's what I find about fruit. It's just no good unless you eat it. It's just no good unless you eat it. I thought those mangoes in the Philippines looked good, but it's once I tasted them, I was like, wow, I've died and gone to heaven. This is heavenly fruit. This is heaven. I need more of this. I wish I could have brought it home, but I couldn't. I've got to get back there. Can I tell you that there's fruit in your life, but you got to get it out there? You've got to let other people eat it. Other people have got a taste of it. Other people have got to be nourished by it, satisfied by it, impacted by it. The sure sign of your fruit is the taste. And people need to taste your life. They need to know the effectiveness, the fruitfulness of your life, because it is going to impact theirs forever. We need to pour out our lives. We need to pour out our lives. There's no point having fruit between just you and God. No point having fruit where it's just you and him and just a couple other people. No, this fruit needs to get out to the mass market. It's like, let's step into Dragon's Den just for a moment. You've got a great idea. You've got a great plan. Let's take it to the mass market. God has a great plan on your life. God has got great fruit that's being produced and it's bearing in your life, but it's got to get out to the mass markets. It's got to get there. It would make no sense otherwise. And guess what happens? Let me give you a warning. When it doesn't get out there and fruit doesn't get picked, then you start to shrink. You produce less fruit. Before you know it, there's no fruit and the health in your life has totally diminished and there's no satisfaction. For us as Christians, we were born to bear much fruit. So let me challenge your heart. How many people in your circle get your fruit? Think of that. Think of the people in your circle today. You know, workmates, friends, strangers, people you see on the bus, your family, your kids, whoever it is. But think of your circle and think how much of your fruit do they get? How much do they get? How much do they get? Or do you keep all of that for yourself? And it's just like, I keep all for me. It's just all about me. It's all about me. Can I get some of you? But it's all about me. But how much of your circle do you affect with your fruit? That's literally what we got to ask ourselves, our family, our friends. And here's what I find with unsaved is that most Christians have no unsaved friends, or maybe one that they see once in a while. But how are we going to impact? How are we going to see people saved? How are we going to reach out into a fallen world if we don't know the world? This is what Jesus did. He said, I am a friend of sinners. I'm not interested in the healthy people. I mean, I'm not interested in that because I've got fruit that's going to transform people's lives. I'm interested in the sick and the dying. I'm interested in people that realize they need a savior, and I'm right there for them. Guys, if we're not around people that need a savior, then there's no point being Jesus. There's no point being like him. Can you think about that for a moment? If you're a doctor and you're never around sick people, what's the point being a doctor? There's just no point. And for us as Christians, if we've got fruit in our lives and if we're going to be Christians like the way God's called us to be, what's the point if we're not going to know unsaved people? What's the point if we hide away? So my challenge is, how many people in your circle are unsaved? Maybe that needs to increase. Maybe that needs to increase. Otherwise, what's the point of the fruit? God has called us to make a difference. How effective are you? Whose life changes when you're not there? Whose life changes when you're not there? Think about that for a moment. There's people in your lives. There's people in your circle. And you're sharing your fruit. And you're making a difference. But I wonder how many lives will be impacted or less impacted if you weren't there. Challenge your heart with it. Because Jesus, could you imagine if he didn't come? Oh my goodness. Can you imagine if he didn't step out those days and he feeds the 5,000 and he heals the blind beggar? Can you imagine if he doesn't step out and open the blind eyes and cause the lame to walk? Can you imagine? Everybody's life is worse for it. Everybody's life is non-turned around. It's like it hasn't changed. It hasn't been affected because Jesus changed people's lives. Our mission is to change people's lives. So guys, last few things today. Mission keeps our lives healthy. Here's what I want to tell us today as we're finishing. Missions keep our lives healthy. If we're going to be effective, if we're going to really step out into this thing, then we've got to be part of the Great Commission and we've got to make a big difference on the planet with the people around us. Missions keep our lives with a point and with a purpose. Missions keep us effective. It means that we've got something to go for. It means we've got a vision. We've got a purpose. It's like we're part of something bigger and I'm going to produce good fruit. God's going to produce good fruit in me and I'm going to give it away. And people's lives are going to be effectively changed. Here's the way I like to think of it. Mission is our marketplace. You have something to sell. You have something to give away. It's free, but it was bought with the highest price. You have something to impact people's lives with. We've got to get to the market. Could you imagine being a farmer and growing all this wonderful fruit at home and never getting to the marketplace? It would make no sense. And when I think about good fruit, I think about the TV, or I think about the programs on TV, or I think about the times we go to the market, or you think about the market on the TV, and you go there, and you've got the guys like, 5 apples for a pound, or, you know, 5 bananas for a pound, or whatever it is, and you get it, and it's ripe, and it's juicy, and it's incredible. And that's what God's saying for our lives. We need to get out into the marketplace. This is the safe place. You know, wherever you find yourself this morning, it's the safe place. Maybe you're in church with us. Maybe you're at home in your bed. Maybe you're sitting on the sofa. But that's your safe place. That's where you can be the real you. But I tell you this, you will be the real, real you when you get out into the world and you see Jesus working through you. Because that's incredible. That's when our fruit really gets tasted. That's when our fruit really has impact. That's when it really counts. There's no point being a fruit farmer if it never gets to market. Amen? There's no point. You might as well quit. You might as well retire. You might as well give up, because every fruit farmer must get his fruit to market, because that's when it gets bought. That's when it gets tasted. That's when it impacts people's lives. So what's your mission? Our mission is the Great Commission. The joy of every Christian is to sell out every day. Can I tell you this? The joy of every Christian is to sell out our lives every day, is to pour out our lives every single day. And we go, wow, that was such a full day. I've got nothing left, but it's okay, because God's going to replenish me. God's going to grow much fruit in me. God's going to restore me. God's going to fill me up tomorrow. Or maybe I need to take a few days off, and He's going to fill me up, and He's going to restore me, because the joy of every Christian is to sell out every day and to pour out our lives every day into a broken, fallen world. Most Christians have rotten fruit, but it's time to clear out. It's time to get rid of them, and it's time to really bring some good fruit to the people around us. Let me give you some stories from iHeart as we're finishing today. We went out to iHeart this year, and we thought to ourselves, can we go? Will we be able to go? But here is what we find, is that people are waiting for us. People are ready for us. People couldn't wait to see us. And when we asked a couple of questions near the end of our last few estates, I said, guys, would you like us to come back? And they said, we would love you to come back. And here's what our dream is. Our dream is that iHeart happens every single day. That's really it. We're not satisfied in Vibe that we would just love our city once a year, or those few times a year. We've managed to get up there a few times a year. Our dream is that we would love our city every single day. But to do that, I need you. I really do. That's the truth. Because at the moment, we're doing all that we can, and maybe we can do a tiny bit more, because we can do all things, and you know, Christ is extending us, and He's growing us, and we're producing more fruit every day. But here's the thing. There's a joy there that you're missing out on. And so we need you. We want to literally lift the limits. I want to encourage you. Would you come and help us lift the limits? Maybe you're online and you can't physically come to our location, but you can pray, you can give, you can support us. Would you do that? Get online and get in contact with us. Send us an email, you know, send us a message, whatever you need to do, but get in touch. But maybe you're offline and you're checking us out because you couldn't come this Sunday because you're working or whatever it is. But I want to challenge your heart. Come and be a part of something bigger. Come and be a part of something that you've always been destined to be a part of, the Great Commission. This is what Jesus wants you to be a part of. It's time to radically step up and step out now. It's time to restart our missions, and it's time to get out there and help us to lift the limits of what we're able to do. Guys, the unsaved, the broken people, those that need a Savior have cried out and said, would you come? Would you come once a month? I mean, the kids are saying to me, we love the competitions. We love the fun. We love the crafts. We're there the first day and we're hanging up the banners. We're like, crafts, games, music, dance. We love all those things. I was like, amen, we're coming in a few days. And we want to come back more and more and more, but we cannot do it on our own. We need you. I want to challenge you to pray. We've got a dream. Here's our dream in Vibe. More people would start serving, more people would reach for Jesus, more disciples would be made. We would fulfill the Great Commission. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're believing for. And that is our dream. And I wonder, is that your dream? And I wonder, would you come and be a part of our dream and simply say, hey, I've got some good fruit. I want to come and sell it in your marketplace. I want to come and be a part of what God is doing in your area, in your location. I want to come and be a part of this thing. Or if you can't be physically a part of it, you are a part of it online. Get in touch, and we would love you to support us and love you to be there, because together we can make a difference. And here's what I believe. Together we can fulfill that Great Commission. Who's ready to restart their mission work? That's it. That's my final question. Who's ready to restart their mission work? Are you ready to restart your mission work? Are you ready to restart like never before? Are you ready to allow God to produce fruit through you like never before? It's being connected to the vine, and it's realizing that the fruit that we have and the lives that we have are to be poured out on everybody else. Guys, we're going to pray together. I thank you so much for being tuned in today. And I really want to pray, if you're a Christian, it's time to pour out our lives like never before. It's time to restart missions, and it's time to transform and change, because God has got good things in store for us. And the Great Commission is vital that we're a part of it. But if you're not saved, then I want to pray today. What if you don't know Jesus? What if you've made mistakes? What if you're full of guilt and shame and you think to yourself, I'm not good enough for this thing? Let me tell you, you're the perfect candidate. And Jesus says, come just as you are. You don't have to be perfect. If you did, what's the point of me? I'm the perfect one. You just come as you are, broken, false, failures, all those things, mistakes, all those things come to him. And today we're going to pray. And all that he asks is you be real and honest and say yes to him. So I want to pray today. But if you need Jesus, would you say yes to him as we pray? And let's believe wherever you are, Jesus comes into your heart right there and then, and your life is forever changed. And if that happens, get in touch with us and let us know that you give your life to Jesus today. Come on, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's tuned in. I thank you for everybody that's watching. And I really just pray, Lord, that you'd release much fruit in our lives, that you would encourage us, that you would lift us up. And whatever's been holding us back, Lord, would you lift us? Would you encourage us? Would you bring breakthrough? Would you heal us and restore us in Jesus' mighty, wonderful name? And I pray, Lord, for anybody that's tuned in today that's not saved, I pray that right now, Lord, that something would be changing and something would just be moving in their hearts. And I plead with them and I urge them and I encourage them, consider Jesus because he is amazing. And so for those that are ready, let's say yes to them. So Lord, you see every heart, you see every life and every person that said yes to you right now. And I pray, Lord, that you would take away their sins, that you would give them a brand new start, and that they would know there's a home in heaven for them when they die. But in the meantime, let them be followers of you and let them be followers and people to complete the Great Commission. Jesus, we pray for every life and every heart today. In your precious name, amen.